Take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy. I know you say, well, can't we ever going to get out of here? Yeah, we will eventually, but not today. Deuteronomy 28, if you will, please. Again, the purpose of these messages is for us to see just how far the curse can interfere into our daily lives and how much destruction it can do. And I'm hoping that we can become so fed up with the curse and how much misery it brings into our lives that we decide we're going to do all we can to live under the blessings of God and not under the curse. That's really what I'm trying to do here. There's a lot of things that goes on in our lives that we just attribute to, you know, a flip of the coin, or well, that's just the way the wind blows, and just my fate, or got bad luck, or bad karma, or all those kind of things. And there's, to be honest with you, God has more things in control than that. And we're not just left to the whims of the world to live. And God has very clearly gives us some things here. And the problem is we haven't taught this. I say we. Christianity just doesn't teach this very often. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever heard a series of messages like this myself. But it's right here in the Bible. Now, the principle, a lot of folks lived by these principles, but the generations have gone by and we haven't heard these things. And I remember, it's been some years ago now, but I met some guy along the street. And he was always, oh, you're the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist. I said, yes, sir. He says, so you're the one that preaches out of the Old Testament all the time. He said, well, don't you know we live in the age of grace, or that we live in New Testament times? But the Old Testament is not defunct. The thing is, the Old Testament, God is eternal. And the principles in the Old Testament are still true in the New Testament. And we don't have to, listen, we are not saved by works, but the works, the Old Testament, our schoolmaster tells us that we can't be saved by our works. But that doesn't mean, he said, God said, Jesus said, shall we, should we get rid of the law? Well, God forbid. No. In fact, if we get saved, we'll start keeping the law by the new nature inside of us. So there's things here that he wants us to know. Now, these are principles here that God is giving us that we need to live by. And so in this particular passage, of course, the Israelites are about ready to go into the promised land. They got out of Egypt. They looked in. They said, there's giants. We're not going to go. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they're going into the promised land, and Moses is getting them ready. And he's going right back to where they were 40 years ago. He says, here's the rules for living and enjoying the promised land. Now, remember, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the victorious Christian life, the victorious life in God. He says, here's how you live a life in this world under God. Now, of course, the curse that we talk about, again, for those folks who maybe new, the curse is what happened in Genesis 3 when Adam sinned. The curse was brought on the whole world, and that curse now brings death. It passed on from by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. And so we are living under the curse. God's not giving us some kind of extra thing to zap us. This is just the natural thing that happens. Now, we don't want to live under the curse. We're going to need God to supersede the curse because he's overcome the world. And so we need to live under him. And we're going to talk about that, getting to that really soon. I'm hoping next week. In fact, I saw an article. I'll bring it in next week. But you know how they always talk about privilege these days? Well, you got privilege. You know, all these people are privileged and so forth and so on. And I saw this article where they said that where this one professor got in trouble. But this is what he said. He said that there's certain people who are privileged. Male, straight, Christian. So now they're saying the Christians are privileged. You know what? It's true. It's true. They didn't say Hindu. They didn't say Muslim. They didn't say anything else. They said Christian. Now, just because you're going to heaven doesn't mean that you're underneath the blessing. You guys, of course, that's a blessing. But I mean, right now, watch. Listen, you have a father and a mother, and you may get some inheritance while you're once they're dead, so to speak. But if you want to enjoy their time with them now, then you need to have a good relationship with them now. The same thing goes. We got a Heavenly Father who's going to take us to heaven, but if we want to enjoy our life right now, we need a good relationship with him now. And so the God can help you to be privileged. Frankly, Christian nations are usually blessed. I'm not saying they don't have problems. I'm going to say they don't go through troubles. But it's amazing how God has promoted Christian nations. Well, let me read this one verse, in verse number 15, and we will get moving here real quick. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Jump down to verse 20. "Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." These things shall come to pass. This is the way it works. Well, you say, well, I understand what the preacher's saying. Maybe that happens sometimes. No, it shall come to pass that if we will not hearken, not listen to the voice of God, we just say, well, I don't need to listen to him. It's okay. I'll be fine by myself. If I'm not listening to observe, to do his commandments and his statutes, which he's commanded, I need to on purpose decide I'm going to listen to what he has to say and obey him. You cannot be neutral and get out from underneath the curse. We got to purposely decide we're going to listen to what the Word of God says and do it. Because if we don't, it says, all these curses shall come upon thee. That means they're going to show up in your life somewhere, somehow, one of these ways, and overtake thee. In other words, you can't escape it. It's going to outrun you. It's going to chase you down like a dog until it gets you. You can't say, well, I'll be all right. I can probably maneuver around here and it won't hurt me. That's not the way it works. So let's pray. We're talking about overtaken by the curse, part 3. Now, of course, what I'm trying to do is convince you here that you don't want to stay here. You don't have to stay here. But I do want us to see how these things are affecting our lives, but maybe we just attribute it to simple life. Well, that's what it's saying here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I need your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll help us to learn these principles. And I'm not here to bore these folks, Lord. I'm here to stir them up so that they understand where these things are affecting their lives and that they could overcome these things. Even if it's going on for generations and generations in their family line, these things can be stopped and be overcome because you are the overcomer. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this morning. We need you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And remember, the curse is simply God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that's already enacted upon this world from the time of Adam's disobedience and subsequent fall. Because that's what we've chosen. We could be out from underneath of it. It's not about adding a curse that because we did wrong, God's going to think of something. Well, here's what I need to do to spank them. That's what we do with our kids sometimes. But that's not what God does. He's leaving us open. He doesn't want to, but he's leaving us open because we've decided we don't want to be under his commands. Now, the Lord has overcome the world, and we need to stick to him because he's the overcomer, and we can overcome it. Now, there's a lot of things that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. The curse, you cannot escape it. It is not determined by our location. It says we'll be cursed in the city, we'll be cursed in the field. We cannot outrun the curse. The curse is everywhere. The curse affects our personal life. It affects how well our needs are provided for. The curse affects the status of our families and what we have going on, the interaction and the interchange we have between the folks in our family. The curse affects our productivity and our prosperity. These are all things we've talked about the last few weeks. The curse affects our ability to make wise decisions and choices. We've talked about all that if you've been here with us. Literally makes it so that you're not able to make wise decisions. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Check in with headquarters, and he will direct thy path. So I don't know how to. I don't know what kind of decision, man. I'm stuck here. I don't know whether to take this job or whether I should. What should I do with my kids? What should I do with my spouse? How should I handle this situation? What about my boss? There's all kinds of decisions you need to make. You want the wisdom of God, you got to go to God to get the wisdom. Otherwise, you're stuck underneath the curse without his blessing. We found that the curse affects the national health issues. Curse makes us more vulnerable to national health crises. You say, well, you know, we never really had all these things before so much. No, we didn't. God is allowing the curse to kind of sneak in here and get a hold of us physically. The curse makes us vulnerable to personal injury, whether it's from outside sources or from among ourselves, with crime. You can't hardly go down the street in some places without being attacked. You got folks who want to shoot you from a carjacking. The curse, the earth itself under the curse will appear to be against us. The curse makes us vulnerable to extreme and dangerous, unusual and unpredictable weather. That's what it says. The natural cycles of weather will be disrupted and the normal processes will be out of sync. In God, in Christ, all things consist. He made all things, and in him everything's held together, works. He keeps it functioning the way it's supposed to function. But if we don't want him in our life, he'll say, well, fine. And we just think, well, the earth will be just fine. No, he said, you don't realize I'm holding the earth together. I hold the world in place. I'm the one that directs the weather, Jesus, the Lord says. And does it sound familiar? I think it sounds familiar. The curse makes us vulnerable to outside oppressors and aggressors. The curse lifts God's hand of strength on our military. The curse leaves us weak before our adversaries, our enemies, and we can't seem to win our battles. These are all things we've talked about the last few weeks. And all these things, if you think about it, are coming around right now. One thing after another. The curse makes us vulnerable to all those things. The curse leaves us without the Lord's insight and wisdom. It leaves our people vulnerable to mental issues and disorders. Folks cannot handle the everyday life. Mental health disorders will increase, it says. Depression, suicide, road rage, insanity, uncontrollable outbursts, crazy people all over the place. What is that? It's part of the curse. Because God is not in all our thoughts. We're not allowing him to direct our paths. One thing is we're not getting the right wisdom from him. And so no one else is either. You know, basically in general, the society isn't either. And so then we're having a hard time making decisions. They're having a hard time making decisions. And then these two people who have a hard time doing right start running into each other. You know, just kind of compounds the whole problem. Just one thing after another. The curse leaves us in the dark over things that should be clear as day, it says. It should be obvious to us. The word of God is supposed to be light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And yet we don't want to listen to the word of God. If we're not, what? Listen, he said, listen to the Lord, hearken unto him that you may observe to do. But if we're not listening to the word of God, well, then we're not going to know what to do. So we're not going to be able to observe to do it, to watch ourselves and make sure we do it. And so we're going to have the curses. Now this morning, I want to start around verse number 30. We've been through a good bit here. Chapter 28. Verse number 30, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Let me say it this way. The curse, and by the way, again, that's the natural state of everyone. We live under the curse naturally. Some more, some less, because of what's going on in society, how the people around you, or whether they're, how much they're living under the curse and how much they're not. But it all goes together here. The curse leaves our homes and families vulnerable to the wiles of the devil, the lust of the flesh, and the destruction of the world. Let me say that again. The curse leaves our homes and families vulnerable to the wiles of the devil, the lust of the flesh, and the destruction of the world. There are way too many families. They're just flying apart. They're just struggling to stay together. You know, they care about one another. They want to be, you know, be one family, but it's just like there's this, there's always contention. There's always a problem. There's always something pulling us apart. We can't seem to ever make headway. The curse, that's because we're doing it on our own. We're not allowing God to be our God. We're not allowing Him to direct our ways. And again, of course, there's proportion. The more you let Him direct, the better it is. The less you let Him direct, the worse it is. And, of course, that happens after generation after generation after generation. There are some families where it seems like they've all just had one nice family. Now, they all have problems. We all have problems. But, you know, it seems like overall they get through it, they do all right, and the success come out the other side, and another generation comes along, and it seems to do all right and so forth. But it seems like some families where they struggled. And the next generation, they still struggled. The next generation, they still struggled. And people say, well, their problem is they don't have a good job. We need to give them welfare. You know, God says, I'll supply your needs according to riches and glory. You know, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to be rich. What I'm saying is you're going to have all your needs. And the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. So sometimes if we don't have the wisdom to know how to handle money, giving us more money is just going to hurt us worse. We don't know what to do with it. But you know how it is. My mom used to say, "Oh, you got money burnt." And when I was a kid, you know, you go there and you go into the toy section, the candy section. So what's the matter? You got money burning a hole in your pocket? Well, yeah, got to get it out of there. I got this money. I want to spend it. You know how it is. But there's sometimes it's family after family. You say, "What's because of this? Because of that?" No, I'll tell you what it is, because they're living under the curse, and they're living under the curse because they're not seeking the Lord with all their heart. I know that sounds, so you don't know if that's the case with everybody. Every single one of us does not seek the Lord in every area of our life with all our heart all the time. So I know that's the case. But I got folks, you know, they'll say, "Well, I'm seeking the Lord. I've been to church on Easter and Christmas for almost every year without fail. See, I'm a regular churchgoer." So you know that Jesus was born, you know that He rose from the grave. But we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's a lot of other stuff in here that He wants us to use to learn to live by. The curse leaves us open to the breakdown of the home and the breakdown of the family, and thus the breakdown of society. Your personal life will be in ruins, or really certainly can be if we're going to live under the curse. We need God's hand of blessing and wisdom on our families if we expect the family that we really want, and not a family that's falling apart and fraying out the edges. Sometimes there's families who are just barely holding themselves together. They show up at Thanksgiving, and everybody's at everybody else's throat. Doesn't have to be that way. We need God's hand of blessing and His wisdom on our families. And if you're wondering why your family is a mess, it could be because you have not truly sought the Lord to be the head of your family. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." If we do things the way God wants us to do, we're going to see things happening. Now, let me show you what's got. He says, under the curse, here's some things you can see. These are like symptoms of the curse, symptoms of the breakdown of the home. Look at verse 30. "Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her." When we're living under the curse, faithfulness in the marriage is lacking. God's not protecting that marriage with you. We decide we're going to satisfy our lusts rather than to keep our vow before God to stay married and stay faithful and keep ourselves only unto them so long as we both shall live, as the vow says. The sanctity of marriage is lost under the curse. The sanctity of marriage is lost under the curse. I don't know, how many years ago has it been when they decided they wanted to redefine marriage? Marriage is the union of one, watch me, naturally born man and naturally born woman. You know, they say that folks who live in these alternative lifestyles are more prone to depression and even suicide. Of course, they blame that on those of us who want to encourage them to have a godly lifestyle. Not traditional marriage. I'm not into traditional marriage. I'm into biblical marriage. Traditions can change. You realize that we're not far from tradition being whatever you want to marry, you can marry. That's going to be the tradition. Not in traditional marriage, what society has decided. I want to know what God decided. When I first came here as a pastor, the constitution of the original church was here, was the same, the basic constitution and bylaws and statement of faith. All the main foundational things. And everybody thought that, well, you don't need anything else. All the rest of it's obvious, you know. But it's almost 20 years ago, and I said, but you know what? I started hearing that the churches were being sued because they didn't have certain things stated in their doctrinal statement. And then somebody came along, let's say a gay guy shows up at church, joins the church, and starts working in the ministry, and all of a sudden the preacher preaches against homosexuality, not knowing this guy was gay. And all of a sudden this guy said, wait a minute, hold it. I'm gay. What do you mean? Oh, you are. I'm sorry. Well, then you can't serve here. Well, then you hurt his feelings. And you could sue, and they've won. But if you put it in writing and public knowledge, then they really can't sue because they should have known before they got there. So I put in our Constitution, way back there, almost 20 years ago, the marriage between a naturally born man and a naturally born woman. And so people kind of like, what do you mean naturally born? Why would you say? I said, I don't know. I got a feeling some crazy things are going to happen. Now, 20 years ago, we hardly even heard about transgender. And here we are. Here we are. We're under the curse, the sanctity of marriage, because we're not doing it God's way. So a symptom of that is the sanctity of marriage goes down. We no longer care about marriage. And so what's going to happen is the home is going to be destroyed. We could say, well, we're enlightened. We have an open marriage. You can say that all you want, but in the depths of your heart, you're as empty. So, well, he gets to play around and so do I. She gets to play around and so do I. Yeah, and when it's all done, you go home empty. Because it's nothing but superficial bodily functions for a few moments. And it's not the way God designed. We are souls. We are people with minds, wills, and emotions that become one with another. And the whole thing that makes that work is the exclusivity of it all. That's what makes it special. I mean, marriage is saying out of everybody, I mean, now think about this. Out of every man in the whole world, she chose me. Who'd have thunk it? But she did. But watch. If we have an open marriage and she can go piddle around with any old guy that comes along, then she didn't choose me out of everybody in the whole world, did she? She's decided he sounds like a nice guy to live with benefits. But if I want somebody else for a thrill, I will. He's a good, stable guy. I think I probably trust him, so we'll buy a house together. But he's doing so-so in the bedroom, so I'm going to go find somebody else for that. then we don't have a marriage. Let me give you another one. So the home's going to fall apart. The sanctity of marriage is lost. Watch this. Loss of financial security. When the curse is in, we will lose our sense of financial security. The concept of private ownership will not be honored. Watch this. Look what it says in verse 30. Thou shalt betroth the wife, another man shall lie with her. So your family is going to be stolen. Watch this. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell in it. Your home will be stolen. You know what they say? Have you heard these announcements? One of the biggest scams these days is that people are doing things where they're stealing the title of your house, your deed of your house. Somehow they're creating an identity, and they go down and sign papers and forge your name and say they own the house, and then they sell it. I don't know how you can even do that, but they say that you can do it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. You're going to work. Listen, you're going to work hard, and somebody else is going to come along and take it from you. That's called living under the curse. Listen, God is all for the free enterprise system. You work hard. One of the blessings of working hard is that you get to enjoy the fruits of your work, the fruits of your labor. I don't care whether it's a thief that's out on the street or whether it's a thief that sits in the White House. When they come along and say, what yours is ours. What's ours is ours, what's yours is ours too. What's mine is mine, what's yours is ours is mine. You know, as they say it, they have to say it right there. And we can decide who gets it. We're going to redistribute the wealth. That's called living under the curse. God says we should be blessed and rewarded for the work that we do. Your family will just not be able to get established financially. It's amazing how the curse will just keep us from being able to make a living. We won't prosper the way we should. Homes will be destroyed and family unit ruined. And watch, as the church goes, so goes the family. And as the family goes, so goes the nation. The foundation of society will fall apart, and then thus our lives will just fall apart. You will sound, will sound like an old country song. You lost your girl, and you lost your car, and you lost your dog. Let me give you another one. Not only will the family will be vulnerable to the wiles of the devil, but society will steal your life away. What? Just living, it's just like you can't hardly trust anybody down the street anymore. Society will steal your life away. It will be as if you have no defense around you. When we're living under the curse, there will be a crime wave. Look what it says in verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. In other words, it's going to steal your credit card, your card number, and everything else. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face and shall not be restored to thee. So you got a horse thief, a carjacker. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. So these injustices will occur. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them, and all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. In other words, the world's going to steal your kids from us, and we will be powerless to do anything about it. Folks will lack respect for the possessions of others. Looters and rioters will run rampant in the streets. Sound familiar? They're going to steal your family. You realize that the school system, I've been hearing again, their school system around this nation, who you can't give your 13-year-old daughter an aspirin or a Tylenol for a headache without calling mom, but they can take her out and have an abortion without even telling mom. They can take her out and have her start taking medications to transition into the other sex without telling mom. She could I heard this. She can go out of the house looking like a girl, and then get to school, and the school will give her a private room as quick as she can when she gets to school to change into male attire, and they don't tell mom and dad. Now, I'm not saying it's everywhere, but it's happening in different areas of this nation already. That's called living under the curse. Why are we having the curse there? Because we decided we didn't want to, on purpose, know what God is saying. It was generations ago. We don't want a prayer. We don't want Bible reading in school. We don't want churches. Denominations that we took out the blood out of the hymn books. We don't want any songs about the blood. We don't talk about Jesus dying. Just talk about his love. Just talk about his grace. Well, all those things are true, but it's a one-sided message. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. He didn't say by mercy iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And when we decide we don't want to hear what God has to do, so we keep his commandments. Well, you're not going to get those kids coming to church if you tell them all these things you have to do and all these things you can't do. Well, you're not going to get them to God without it. We're not doing anybody a favor by doing that. We're making things worse. We will be imprisoned in our own house, afraid to go out. Who's going to shoot us when we walk out our door? York, Pennsylvania down here. Just walking down the street and some kid gets shot. Can't even play with his friends outside anymore. What we are seeing nightly on the news should be of no surprise. We've been heading this direction since the 1960s. That's what it means by living under the curse. He said, well, that's just the way life is. It doesn't have to be. It's the curse. Because we don't want God in our life. Let me give you another one. Our economy shall be stolen by other nations. Watch this. The fruit of thy land, verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. Now there are nations across this world that have lived like that for years. But they would not stand up and want to be called a Christian nation as America did for a long time. But now America is ashamed to be called a Christian nation. You know what I think? China is stealing our intellectual property, our patents. They're selling knockoff copies. They're stealing our economy. Some nation will take the fruit of our labors and steal them. That's exactly what's going on. Well, what's going to? I mean, how can you stop it? We can. God can. That's the point. Well, how do you think he's going to do it? I don't know. Doesn't matter. With him, nothing is impossible. He can make it work. Listen, I thought you had some intelligence, Pastor Walsh. I mean, come on. Now you're talking about fairy tales here. I'm talking about God. The one who created all the world, the universe. The one who died and paid for your sins. Listen, if God can't fix that, then don't expect him to save your soul. He didn't save your soul. If he can't take care of that little thing, how do you think he saved your soul? If he can save your soul, if he spared not his only begotten son, how shall he not also give us all things we have need of? Go back to Romans 8. Let me give another one. We're going to be at our wits' end trying to remedy the problem, but nothing we do will seem to help. That's what it's like living on the curse. Look at verse 34. So he says, the fruit of thy land, and he's talking about all these things, the ox shall be slain, the eyes of you, and it says we have to lose the sanctity of life. We're going to the fruit of thy land, all thy labor shall another nation take. Verse 34, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight, I mean crazy, raving insanity, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. He says, you're going to be at your wit's end. Because this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Lost this, lost this. What's next? $5 a gallon gas? That's right around the corner. What's next? My wife's going to run out on me? Happens all the time. What's next? Girls are going to think they're boys and boys think they're girls? What's next? The public school system is going to take over the raising of our children and hide what they're doing from the parents? You're about ready to pull your hair out. He said, we will, so shalt thou be mad, a raving insanity for what you're seeing in life. We're going to be at our wit's end trying to find a remedy, but we're not going to be able to find it. That's because we decided we didn't need the Lord to tell us what to do. And even though the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean on to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, we just didn't. That doesn't mean that we can look at what the Bible says about the issue, and then we decide if we want to do that. It means we go to God to see what he says, and then we do it. Let me give you another one. Diseases shall make it difficult just to live life and go about your normal routine. Look at verse 35. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs and with a sore botch, an inflammation, boils, that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Our health issues will just be the point where it just kind of it stops us. Why do we hear so much about these things now? We're under the curse. Number 12. Our nation shall be weak and powerless against other nations. Verse 36. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. So it says we'll be overtaken by other nations. We will become an example. Watch this. Ready for this one? We will become an example of what not to do. We will become a laughing stock in the world because of the stupid things we've done. Look at verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. There's other passages in the Bible that says, well, see, they'll walk by and say, well, what happened to them? That's a nation that turned their back on God. That's a nation that turned their back on God. And one of these days, I'm afraid they're going to save America. That's the nation that turned their back on God. They once had the ultimate power on earth. They had it all. The wealthiest nation. The happiest nation. The most protected nation. They enjoyed the blessings of God. But they turned their back on the Lord, and now they are no longer. We'll be powerless against other nations. Look at verse 36. Thou shalt bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods of wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Watch this. I'll give you another one. We're going to work hard and make a lot of money, and we still won't be able to make ends meet. We're going to work hard and make a lot of money, but we're still not going to be able to make ends meet. Sometimes when you think you're finally going to get ahead, some bill is going to come up that drains your bank account, and you're back to scratch to get by. Look at verse 38. This is because of the curse. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field. You're going to work hard to plant. And shalt gather but little in. For the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt not drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all the coast, But thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Now, I've known folks who made twice as much money as I did, and they were looking for a handout to make ends meet. Over my years here, they were making twice as much money, and I was raising a wife and had a wife and four kids. They were making twice as much money, and they still were looking for a handout to make ends meet. They had done their thing for so long, made so many bad decisions. Well, why do they make bad decisions? Because the Lord's not in all their thoughts. They're not checking in with Him. They're not acknowledging Him. They're not listening. They're not hearkening to the Word of God so they may observe to do it. That's why. And that's what I was mean. I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm saying we don't have to live like this. They had done their thing so long, made so many bad choices. Now these choices were catching up with them. And now they're paying alimony and child support and car payments and credit card debt up to their ears. Because they couldn't keep their pants on, so they lost their wife. And then they lost their wife, and they got depressed, so they went out and drank, and then they just didn't show up at work, so they lost their job. So they started running up things on their credit card because they wanted these, this thing, this and that, and this thing. They wanted to live like they were making $100,000 a year, but they weren't making hardly anything. Now they got $60,000 in credit card debt at 21.5%. They'll be 95 years old before they ever get it paid off. I think some people think I'm just going to die so I don't have to pay it off. And then you create that situation, and then that puts our children in this dysfunctional system. And they start life behind. We had nothing to hand down to them. We have some families where the parents are living off the kids. You say, well, what are you saying? I can't believe you're saying these things. I can't believe we haven't been saying this for years. This is why we are where we are. Because we have not decided to make God first in our lives. You say, well, that just sounds real good. Listen, the Bible says, in fact, we're going to get to it. If we do what He asks us to do, blessed here, blessed here, blessed here, blessed here. Well, how's that going to work? Doesn't matter how to explain how it's going to work. We don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. He says He's going to do it. And by the way, I have not been perfect, and God has been very gracious and merciful to me. But He has shown this to be true in my life. Times when I want to do my own thing, I reaped the whirlwind. But when I decided I'm going to live like He wants me to live, there's ways He has taken care of our family that I just never understood how He was going to make it happen. My wife and I, I'm going to say this. I hope you don't take this wrong. My wife and I will never make six figures in my life. I don't really think I ever will. There's people in here who do. Every job I've taken, I've always taken less money. When I came up here, it was whatever's left over. They pay me if there's anything left over. The Lord has blessed. Because we do want to do it. Some people get mad at me because I do it God's way. Listen, I'm stupid not to do it God's way. He'll take care of it. And we're getting ready to build a house. It's a nice house. Where'd you get this money? You've been having your hand in the pocket here at the church? No, you go back, you can talk to the treasurer. Of course, he's not here today. But you can talk to Darren Russell. They're away this weekend. Talk to him. You can talk to Deb Curry. She keeps the books. She knows what I make. It's not a secret. I am now making as much as that fellow who was making twice as much as me and still was looking for a handout, I now make as much as he does now. And that was 15 years ago. He was a laborer, makes a hard job. He worked a hard job, but he was a laborer. No college degree, no nothing like that. And he was making twice what I was making at the time. He was looking for a handout. I'm now making what he was making then. Now, I'll be honest with you, a lot of what we're able to do this, God has in different ways. God has provided some money here, I've got some inheritance, to be honest with you. My dad lived a good life. And my mom gave us some of the inheritance already. That's went in there. Lord willing, that's a good, you know, it goes up, the value of the house kind of goes with the economy. So if the economy goes down, it goes down. Economy goes up, it goes up. Kind of rise the economy. It's a nice, safe place. Lord willing, we're going to enjoy the inheritance, and when I'm dead, you give it to the kids. That's the whole game, whole thing. Now go out there, try to lose. I don't want to lose it. I'm going to enjoy it, and then we'll sell the house, and somebody's got to buy it, and then we'll give it to the kids. Not just you, you've got to share it, but you know. But I want to have something to hand down to the kids. And it's a nice little chunk of change. And so how did it happen? God did it. I am serious. God did it. We got some of our Christian school teacher. When I got out of college, the public school offered me $12,500. The Christian school offered me $7,500 a year. $7,500 a year. That was my salary. So how do you live off that? God. God. That's how you live off of that. He doesn't care what's in your paycheck. He just knows what your needs are. When we came up here, we didn't know whether we were going to pay a paycheck at the end of the month or not. But God knew what we needed. You leave the car unlocked and there's all kinds of veggies in it before by the time you leave church. Someone showed up at the door with a turkey or a ham. I didn't even lose any weight during that time. Well, how's it work? I'm just telling you, God makes it work. Let me give you one more. The world and sin will steal our kids from us when we're under the curse. The world and sin will steal our kids from us. Look at verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Watch me. Many parents, and they do this in love, but many parents want to give their kids everything they didn't have when they were growing up. And so they do their best to give them the world, and then the world steals the heart of their kids away. They think the only way to keep the heart of the kids is by giving them the world. The world is a liar and a thief. It's led by the prince of the air, that's the devil, and he will steal your kids. You give your kids to the devil will steal their heart. He'll take them gladly. Beware of phones and internet. TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat. You go into a restaurant and the kids are all sitting there and there's no conversation. You don't get to enjoy your kids. The world has stolen their heart. What we need to do is give our kids a godly father, a holy mother, and the Word of God and eternal life. When I say Holy Mother, I'm not talking about Mary. I have been told more than once, well, preacher, you just got lucky. You got good kids. My kids, I'm sorry, are sinners like the rest of us. Sinners like everybody else's kids. You don't know my kids and what we had to go through and how the world wanted to steal and destroy my kids too. How much time we spent praying for them. Worrying about them. things that they go through like any other kid, struggles. Well, how in the world did you escape that? I think the grace of God. I refuse to live under the curse. We did our best to lead our kids to drink of the water of life and have a fear of God and then seek the Lord's wisdom in dealing with them. And by the grace of God, we have what we have. My kids aren't perfect. But I enjoy them. We can sit down at the table, go out and have dinner, and they're real people. And we don't have to think, well, what are they going to say? Well, you think they'll come? I don't know. They're mad at you right now. We don't have that stupid stuff. We don't have it. We don't have it. Is it not because we're all sinners? We could have it like everybody else. But I think I can use this as an introduction for next time to go into the blessings. Folks, when I see the news, well, let's say this. When I read Deuteronomy 28, I see the news. I see the news. This is where our nation is. The nation's made of people. Now, you may be living in a way, you know, you may be living in a pretty decent shape, and that's good. That's good. But we've got to win our nation. We've got to do everything we can to pray and ask for the Lord to bring our nation back to God. Or we're not going to be in any better shape than Ukraine. Some nation's going to come in and just take us over. And we'll fall and be at their mercy. One of the things we didn't get to, it basically says we will be at the mercy of our enemies. Really, the enemy should be at our mercy. The enemy should be at our mercy. Not that we're running around trying to take over them, but they know not to mess with us. But we're at the mercy of our enemies. And it's because we've kicked God out. Because no nation is spared by the strength of a horse or a chariot. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord.